So we talk about Pentecost. This is Pentecost Sunday. So what does Pentecost look like? The book of Acts offers us a description. It reads like how a person describes what it was like to live through a tornado, or reads like the invasion scene from a sci-fi movie in an IMAX theater. And I came up with that sentence before realizing what was going to be behind me. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And Pentecost is a good thing? This is something to celebrate? Well, the writer describes what's good about it. All of the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to speak in other languages. And there were devout Jews from every nation staying in Jerusalem at that time, and each one heard the disciples speaking in their native language. That's what Pentecost looked like to a first century Jew who wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. I have no idea if Luke actually experienced these supernatural events of nature, or if he was using poetic language to describe something very unique and important. But I think for our purposes today, it might be good for us not only to ask, what does Pentecost look like, but also, what did things look like before Pentecost? Diaspora Jews who were living all over the known world had traveled to Jerusalem for a festival called the Feast of the Harvest, which occurs 50 days after Passover. And so these diaspora Jews who did not live in the homeland, but lived in other lands and among different cultures, all spoke different languages. Think maybe of the Native Americans here and the different tribes, how they spoke different languages and how many of them did not get along. Well, these Jewish foreigners come to Jerusalem for this religious festival, and a lot of them did not get along. They did not see eye to eye. Many of them did not like each other at all. I've become close friends with Rabbi Robert Haas of Congregation Mikveh Israel, and we often go to lunch together, and he will hear me complaining about all of the problems and divisions we're having in the denomination, and he'll sarcastically say, "Yes, you don't have all of the peace and harmony that we have in Judaism. We Jews agree about everything." And his point, of course, is that not only are there different types of Judaism with different beliefs and disagreements, but that even within each Jewish congregation, there are divisions and disagreements. And it was this way in Jerusalem many, many years ago. It was chaotic. It was mean. It was ugly. A lot of blaming and judging. That's what it looked like before Pentecost. Now remember, the death and resurrection of Jesus happened around Passover. So now it's 50 days later. The disciples are still there in Jerusalem, still laying low, not wanting to draw attention to themselves. The Romans may be after them next, so they're hiding out. But on the day of Pentecost, something really weird happens. It's one of those experiences that doesn't translate well. It's one of those you had to be there moments. And in the telling of it, Luke chooses this extravagant language to describe the experience: rushing wind, tongues of fire. But the next thing we know, the disciples are suddenly no longer afraid. Now they're bold, and they come out of hiding, and they're able to find their voices and the courage to use them. They begin to speak and tell their story to everyone. And what's so remarkable besides this bravery and courage is that everyone can understand them. These diaspora Jews who speak different languages can understand what the disciples are saying. And so these people who have a lot of differences, people who don't get along, have a breakthrough. Was it a miracle of speaking? Or was it a miracle of hearing? Was the miracle the fact that the disciples all of a sudden could speak in foreign languages? Or was the miracle the fact that the diaspora Jews were able to understand what the disciples were saying? The way the story is told in Acts, it is not clear. It could be either, or it could be both. A miracle of speaking and a miracle of hearing, listening. I don't know what kind of chaos and misunderstandings you are having in your life, with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your friends and relatives, with your coworkers, but I know you have them. We all have them because we are all so different. We have different backgrounds, different experiences, different idiosyncrasies, different preferences. It's no wonder there is so much chaos in the world. For instance, I have a paper towel fetish. I like to have 16 rolls of paper towels in our house at all times. I like to be prepared for cleanups. I'm married to a woman who could use one roll of paper towels in the house for 3 months. Not me, 16. Have to clean up everything quickly before someone steps in it and makes another mess. Quicker picker-upper, please. On the other hand, you open our shower door and you'll see all kinds of bottles, lotions, oils, and sponges. Sherry has 13 items in the shower. 13. Guess how many I have? 2. A bar of soap and a bottle of shampoo. What else do you need? Most mornings I open the shower door and I find one of Sherry's bottles sitting on my one bar of soap. It's like the bottle is saying, "What is your soap doing in my space?" 13 items in the shower, 16 rolls of paper towels. We're all so weird and different. Every Pentecost, I try to remind people here that we have people from all kinds of backgrounds and experiences. We have Methodist backgrounds, Baptist backgrounds, Catholic backgrounds, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Lutheran, Unitarian, Quaker backgrounds, and lots of other religious backgrounds, including people with no religious background. We have people who are gay, lesbian, straight, transgendering, and people who don't care what they are. We have Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and people who don't want to be any of those. We have organizing freaks who love to plan, and we have non-organizers who love spontaneity. We have vegetarians, vegans, gluten-freers, and of course, meat and potato folk. They're all here. We've got rich people, poor people, middle-class people, and poor people who used to be middle-class people. We've got English majors, math majors, beach bums and mountain lovers, homebodies and international travelers, quiet folk and loud folk, people of few words, people who are long-winded. We've got slow talkers and fast talkers, introverts, extroverts, bookworms, remote control controllers, do-it-yourselfers, and people who have trouble changing a light bulb. People who love golf, people who are allergic to golf, people who are emotional, people who are stoic. We've got encouragers and complainers. We've got people who bubble and people who boil. We've got people with criminal records and people who are lucky they haven't been caught yet. We've got confidants and gossipers, iPhoners and Androiders, chocoholics, alcoholics, foodaholics, writers, readers, dancers, and singers, people who are mostly patient and those leaning toward being impatient. Short, tall, bald, hairy, mama's boys, daddy's girls, white, blacks, mixed, southern, northern, midwestern, western, or from nowhere near here. We've got early birds and late arrivers, early risers and hard to drag out of bedders. Artists, instrumentalists, librarians, CPAers. We've got people who are single, married, dating, available. We've got people who love sushi and those who won't even look at it. They're all here. You know who you are. You are you and I am me. And by some miracle, by some strange glue, we are church. We are woven together in love, are woven together as we try, strive to love. That's what Pentecost looks like. The church is not, should not be a club. A club is an organization that forms because people want to be with other people who have things in common. That's nice, but that's not church. The church is a practice place for learning how to get along with people who are not like you. Sometimes people leave a church because they really were looking for a club, a place where everyone looks and acts the same way, believes the same things. But Jesus says, what good is that? What good is it if you just love those who love you or just greet those who greet you? What the world needs, we all know, is a place where people who are different can learn how to love one another, to learn how to create the kingdom of God on earth. That's the church, and that's where Pentecost comes in. Was it a miracle of speaking, or was it a miracle of hearing? Was the miracle the fact that the disciples all of a sudden could speak in foreign languages, or was the miracle the fact that the diaspora Jews were able to understand what the disciples were saying? The way the story is told in Acts, it's not clear. Could be either, could be both. A miracle of speaking and a miracle of hearing. All I know is that in order for communication and understanding to happen, it takes someone having the courage to speak and share his or her story. By story, I don't mean saying I'm Billy and I was born in July of 1959 in Savannah. What I mean is that you are willing to share your thoughts and your feelings, and you share why you think you have those feelings. So it takes someone to share, to break the ice, but it also takes another person willing to set their own agenda aside so that he or she can listen to the person speaking. When this is able to happen, according to the book of Acts, that's the work of God's Spirit. Because Pentecost is about communication and understanding, which is the greatest of all miracles, because communication and understanding almost always leads to peace. And when it doesn't happen, bad things usually happen, not only in our personal lives, but also in the world, of course. And so what keeps Pentecost from happening? What keeps us from sharing our feelings and listening to others? Fear? Fear of being judged? Fear of being rejected? Ego? Pride? Insecurity? If we want Pentecost to happen, we can't be control freaks. We have to allow God's Spirit to blow away our ego and pride and fear and jealousies. We need to allow the Spirit's wind to blow away our cobwebs of selfishness and the dust of insensitivity so that we can truly listen and try to understand one another. And when we speak, we need not point out what's wrong with someone else, but to have the courage to share our feelings and personal experiences that help others understand why we feel the way we do. If your hope is for someone to understand you, if your dream is that some rift will be repaired, I hope you will take home with you today the promise that if God is up to anything in this world, God is in the business of building bridges, of making connections. Franciscan Richard Rohr likes to say, it's not about being correct, it's about being connected. I think he would go on to say that the more you can connect, then the holier you are. God is the one who connects everything, so the more you can connect, the more you are allowing God to work in and through you. And that's why we need to be careful of doctrines and dogmas getting in the way of people connecting. That's what Jesus was about. That's what he was constantly trying to do. That's what he was constantly teaching. And it's why I think the Apostle Paul says there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these, the greatest is love. Connecting. This is the work of God's Spirit. And so let us be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us so we can be brave enough to share our thoughts and our feelings, to tell our story, and to be attentive enough to listen and to understand others. It's an extraordinary challenge because we live in a world where people are more and more detached from each other. We are also busy doing, doing, and doing. And besides our busyness keeping us from connecting, our technology threatens us. Technology deceives us into thinking we are more and more connected, but twittering and texting and emailing isn't the kind of communication that gives one Pentecost. In fact, misunderstandings occur all the time through text, Twitters, and emails. So on this Pentecost Sunday, on this day, we recognize the birth of the church. We ask God's blessing on this training ground for sharing ourselves, our lives, and listening to others, to learning to love and to live in peace together. And then as we leave this place, let us ask ourselves what Pentecost looks like in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families. What does it look like at home or at work and in our community? Call on God's Spirit to offer you strength and the courage to speak and to listen. My hunch is that if you do this, you will be so surprised about the movement and power of God in your life that you might find yourself saying something like, it was as if a tornado came in and transformed the entire situation, blew it away. So God bless us as we seek to experience Pentecost. Amen and amen.